Chapter 31.
Jin wrapped Hatter's injuries when they got back to the house. It was strange to spread out the med kit on the kitchen table, but that room also had the best light. "This will be sore for a while," she said, examining the purple-black stain of a knee-sized bruise blossoming on his stomach.
"Yeah,"
Hatter groaned.
"At least he didn't kick any lower."
Jin snorted. "Small mercy."
"Not small."
Jin shot him a smile, but it was gone the second she looked away and started cleaning up.
"You don't have a scratch on you," Hatter said.
Jin didn't answer.
"You knocked that thug flat on his back," Hatter continued. "You knew exactly what to do."
"It was part of my old job." Jin put the medical supplies away in the cabinet by the door. "My old life."
"What did you used to do?" Hatter asked.
Then he immediately said, "I don't want to know."
"No, I do."
"Maybe." He took a deep breath.
"Was it very bad?"
She met his gaze. "No," she said, thinking of doing something good, of fighting back.
"Yes," she said,
remembering Inusagi and Tamsi Prime.
"What did that guy want?" Hatter asked. "He said he was following you because of..."
"Because of Saw." Jin slammed the cabinet shut. "That's who you used to live with," Hatter said slowly.
"I know. You don't have to get mad at me."
"I'm not mad," Jin snarled. Hatter put both his hands up.
"Okay, okay," he said. "Please don't kick my ass."
When Jin didn't move, he added, "That was a joke," and then, "But still, I'd appreciate it if you didn't." Jin finally cracked a smile.
"I won't."
She lunged at him and he flinched.
"Maybe."
"So," Hatter said slowly as Jin sat down beside him. "Saw."
"Saw.
Who was he? I mean, really?"
"He used to call me his daughter," Jin thought. "And then he left me behind."
"You don't have to tell me anything," Hatter continued when Jin didn't answer. "But I need to know. Is this a problem? Are thugs gonna start hassling Mum? Because it has been made clear that I need to work out more and maybe learn how to throw a punch if that's gonna be the case." Jin shot him a sideways smile.
"I'll protect you," she said.
"Oh, phew." Hatter swiped at his brow. "I'm more a lover than a fighter, you know, and I'm quite comfortable hiding behind you. Glad we sorted that out." Jin sank farther into her chair.
"Saw took me in after I lost my parents," she said, looking straight ahead.
She would never be able to get through this if she saw sympathy in Hatter's eyes.
"He worked against the Empire."
"In some sort of rebel group?" Around school, rebels were spoken of in an almost mythical way, a band of warriors who dared fight the Empire. The people of school had absolutely no concept of what fighting the Empire was really like. But to be fair, they didn't know what the Empire was really like either. They existed in an almost childlike state where everything was black and white, a story to tell over drinks or by the bonfire, nothing more. None of the players were real. They were all just characters, not people.
"Sometimes for groups," Jin said. "Sometimes for himself." Saw didn't care who he fought beside, just who he opposed.
She risked a glance at Hatter. He was eating up every word, as eager as she had been when she was a kid watching the octave stairway on the viewer.
"The last mission..." She looked away again,
forcing her eyes and her mind to lose focus.
"It went bad."
"Bad?" Hatter asked. Jin closed her eyes. She could see the line of green light as the Star Destroyer's beam sliced into the factory. She could taste the blood and dust in her mouth. She could smell the burning metal. She could hear the screams.
"Bad," she confirmed.
"Tamsi Prime," Hatter whispered. Jin nodded.
"You were a part of the anarchists who attacked the factories?"
"It was the Empire," she said.
She saw doubt in his eyes, and it killed her inside. We were just there to look. A scouting mission. The Empire, it was done with the factory. And it had a message to send. She watched as the truth settled on Hatter like a blanket around his shoulders. But she also knew he didn't understand. Not really. And thanks to the Empire's lies, very few people in the entire galaxy knew what had actually happened on Tamsi Prime. The Imperials and the Star Destroyer, the pilot whose name she had never learned, Kodo, Saw, her. With Hatter's strength keeping her upright, Jin felt strong enough to carry the weight of an entire planet's mourning. Something changed after that night. Hatter joked that Jin was strong enough to take him out, but the few times they ventured into town, he was on edge, looking over his shoulder, looking out for her. He must have told Akshaya about what had happened when she returned from her run. Jin noticed the way Akshaya lingered by her door, as if she wanted to speak, but wasn't sure of the words. She started painting more mandalas on the walls and floors of the little house, something Hatter said she hadn't done since her daughter died. "They're beautiful," Jin told her, but there was a twinge of guilt in her voice. She knew she worried Akshaya, and she didn't like bringing a shadow over the bright home. "They're relaxing," Akshaya said, carefully drawing out a series of rays from a center circle on the floor. She didn't look relaxed. She was so focused on the drawing that her brow was furrowed, her gaze a laser beam trained on each line. Jin could understand this. She remembered just before her family moved from Coruscant to Lamu. Mama had been full of frantic energy, just like Akshaya was now. Mama had cleaned everything, had taken Jin to the park, had meticulously talked over her plans softly under her breath, so low she didn't know Jin heard. Mama's plans were Akshaya's mandalas. Her love was boiling inside her and had to come pouring from her fingertips or it would overwhelm her. Jin watched her for several long moments. Hatter came in, interrupting the silence and his mother's concentration. "Dinner's ready in a few minutes," he said. "I'll clean up," Akshaya replied. And Hatter left. Akshaya watched him go, her eyes soft. For the first time since she'd started working on the floor, she actually did look relaxed. "I don't suppose you want to learn how to make mandalas," Akshaya asked. "You're welcome to, you know. There's that whole wall in your room." Jin paused. She actually wouldn't mind learning how to draw the intricate designs, but she was afraid of ruining the blank wall. "In case you change your mind," Akshaya said, pressing three paint sticks into Jin's hand. Jin felt awkward lingering in the room, so she went back to her own. She sat down on the bed and stared at the blank wall. Akshaya had given her black, orange, and red paint sticks. She twirled the black one in her hands, contemplating a design she could cover the whitewashed wall with. She wondered if Akshaya's daughter had drawn mandalas on the wall and Akshaya had painted over them after she died. Or maybe her daughter hadn't bothered painting the wall at all. Maybe Akshaya wished she had, and the white wall reminded her of everything that couldn't be. Jin stood, the black paint stick in her hand, and she held it over the white wall. "A long swoop," she thought, tracing a line with her eyes. "And rays made of red spiking out of it. Tiny orange dots in between." But even though she could see the picture spreading out before her, she didn't touch the paint stick to the wall. She put them all in the box on the shelf, along with the empty hypo-injectors. That night, Akshaya complained again that she'd lost another planet in her regular shipping run. "We're being bought out left and right," she said, as Hatter scooped out bun for their evening meal. "The Empire?" Jin asked quietly. Akshaya didn't answer, which made Jin certain her guess was right. We're not that far away from Tamsi Prime and other Empire-run systems, Jin said. Just because school is in the Outer Rim doesn't mean it's going to be ignored.
We're ants, Akshaya said, sighing heavily. Giants don't notice ants.
But Akshaya shoved her chair back abruptly.
Come with me,
she said, heading to the back door. Hatter and Jin shared a confused, worried look, but they followed Akshaya outside. Akshaya had her head tilted back, staring up at the stars.
What do you see?
She asked quietly when Hatter and Jin approached. She was calm now. Too calm. Jin looked up.
Stars? She said, confused.
Stars, Akshaya repeated.
Where's Tamsi Prime?
Jin scanned the sky. All the white dots, impossibly far away, looked the same.
Where's the Empire? Akshaya continued. Do you see it? Because I don't.
It doesn't work like that, Jin thought. Just because you don't see something doesn't mean it's not there. But Akshaya didn't look away from the stars. She kept staring. So Jin directed her gaze back up, too. And she didn't see the Empire. But she thought she may have seen some of what Akshaya saw. Up above, the stars seemed to stretch on forever. There were no clouds, no moons visible yet, just a million tiny dots of light. If she tilted her head back far enough, she could pretend the horizon wasn't there. Only space. There was something comforting in pretending that there was nothing at all in the universe but her and the stars and the silence.
Right. Stars are far away, Hatter said. Meanwhile, dinner's getting cold.
As the weeks turned into months, and there was no sign of Burke or any of Saw's other contacts, Jin almost let herself forget about the past. She continued working on new codes and permissions for the ship's ID chips to help Akshaya bypass any Imperial security, but otherwise left behind everything she had learned from Saw. Except the knife. Every morning, without fail, she weighed it in her palm and forced herself to remember the feel of the hilt in her hand, the pressure it took to break skin. And then she slipped it into her boot, making sure she could easily reach it if she needed to.